Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So we move into the third part of Drafter interviews, and to kick us off, Marcus, we have the returning drafter, James Jammer Robinson.
Hello there, good sir.
It's really painful on the nipples.
Mr. Freely. Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
A lot of people keep saying that.
Fuck. It's just pain.
It's been nipple.
Fantastic. Freedom. It's not American freedom.
It's not American freedom. For those of they're listening, his tea has the word freedom on it.
Absolutely.
What kind of freedom is it then?
I think it's as we open the.
There you can. Go.
Chin chin.
There we go.
I think freedom alludes to the Scottish type of freedom that they did.
What's Scottish type of freedom?
Braveheart.
Braveheart, yes, indeed.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's at this point that it becomes very clear that Jose not only doesn't know that Jammer was in Braveheart, it sounds like Jose's never heard of Braveheart.
No, he's not just like not seen it, just never heard of the Mel Gibson classic.
Let's see what direction this takes.
They were alluding to that, I think.
How actually closes? Right, because I mean, again, I don't know too much about culture. How close is the movie to actually?
It's just completely fake. Everything's wrong with it.
There's Jose so many thinks everyone's just riding around on horseback with face paint.
No,
in
no,
Scotland.
We don't actually. Yeah, we don't even speak Scottish in Scotland. So.
Is that right?
No, it's yeah. I think they used a bit of dramatic license, to say the least.
From I see.
I don't know how much I know, how many answers
well,
I can actually
out.
Give
we're
you.
About to find out.
Okay.
Give me everything that you can. How confident are you in the new Legacy League format?
Do you know what? I prefer it to the old format. I think a lot of other people are nervous about it and stuff going back. But, I mean, I'm a newcomer, really, to the draft. And I played before as a caretaker manager, and I was meant to be here last year. And, yeah, the Legacy is a thing that obviously continues throughout the seasons. And it's less cumbersome when it comes to the points and previously you'd have to do auction points and have to go right, I want to spend, and then you'd probably end up spending 40 points on Aguero or something like that, and then you've got like 3 points for the rest of your team. It's much fairer, this, but it's whether you get your picks right that's the difference, and that's whether you pick the correct player, and that's where I'm not as good, because I'll probably just go for players that I really like rather than smart picks.
So would you say that this makes you a little bit more confident in terms of winning with this new format?
New format, in terms of winning, I've got first pick, which is a really strong position to be in.
Yeah. Right.
But my next pick's 30 and 31 or something like that. So I'm going to miss out on all of those players. So I need to make sure that first pick. So if my first pick gets injured, which can happen to anyone, I'm not a very competitive guy, to be honest.
Yeah.
In the way of, if I win, it would be great. And I'm going to try my hardest to win. I was talking about this the other day. Being competitive, it doesn't help towards you winning.
Yeah.
You're going to win regardless. I'm going to do my best and pick the best players, but it doesn't matter how competitive I am. If my team isn't good enough, it's not going to win. There's no element of my trash talk that's going to make people fucking be worse or better.
Yeah. All right. So being a number one overall pick.
Yeah.
Do you know what song you're going to sing at your first pick ceremony?
Is there a song? See, yeah. This is all new to me. I don't know if I could. Right, so I need to choose a song.
You do need to choose a song.
Number one, Tinchy Strider, isn't it?
Oh. Are you going to sing it fully?
Do you have to sing it?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, I don't even know the lyrics. It's rapping as well. Oh, that's another thing. I've got a wee rap up my sleeve. You know, these things that Scottish rappers, it's quite a potent mix.
Listen, they get serious.
It's going to be a potent mix. You just wait. Because I have to do a wee speech. Because I'm getting let back into the fold again, and it involves maybe a bit of spoken word poetry. So hold on to your seats, guys. It's going to get crazy.
It's going to get serious.
It's going to get crazy.
Let's take it back to football. What's your tactic going to be for this season?
Tactic is just to make sure I don't get left behind transfer wise, because it's quite easy to take your eye off the ball when it comes to that. And a lot. What I realised from being in the group previously is there's a lot of movement, and you've got the waiver wire that they talk about, and you need to be in there in the first minute and all this stuff. And I think that the last season I played, that let me down, because I wasn't quite sure about logistically, and I kind of got left behind in that respect. And it actually is a lot about recruitment, how you move throughout the season, because a lot of the times people who win the draft aren't the best drafters, they're the best kind of season players that go in different tactics throughout the season. So I need to stay on top of that, I think, to give myself a good fighting chance to win.
Okay. Yeah, but in terms of winning then, do you have top three players that you're going to pick?
Oh, of course, season? Yeah. Am I allowed to say?
Yeah, go for it.
They
won't know.
All right, okay. Well, I'm pick number one, so I could have De Bruyne, I could have Sterling, I could have... like anyone I really want, like the.
Well, who do you want then?
Fernandez. I'm fast and loose, guys. I don't have everyone else who maybe done the research or whatever. Mm. I'm like in the moment. I think this is the person I'm going to go for. Okay. Glenn Murray. No, I'm not going.
So you like to be spontaneous. You like to be in the moment.
Totally.
Do you have a secret pick though that you know that person is someone that I've reserved a spot for?
He's not so much a secret. He's down the line.
Okay.
And Mikel Antonio for West Ham, started taking the penalties last season. And that's quite interesting. Obviously, you're looking at people who are going to score goals, obviously. But penalty takers are a huge indicator. Like, obviously, Aubameyang takes penalties, and he's now a midfielder, which is a pull as well. But Mikel Antonio really started coming onto a game. I mean, he scored 4 goals in a game last season. So, for West Ham... I think not a secret pick, because I think everyone knows about him, but he's more down the line, and it might be a bit of a surprise pick, people going, all right, he's picked him pick number 4 or 5 or something.
Who do you want in later rounds?
I mean, obviously, when last time I started playing, it was Wolves had just been promoted, and Adama Traore was one of my picks, and everyone was like, who's this guy? And now obviously Adama Traore is coming on to, so you're looking like legacy wise as well. You don't want to go too old, because you're thinking about the future as well. But there's a few Leeds players like that down the line, like Liam Cooper in defence would might be a decent pick. He's a captain, but was the captain last season. I'm looking at those kind of more quiet players that, but yeah, the big picks are going to be in the top ones that you do. I don't know what I'm going to do, guys. You guys need to portray some sort of knowledge on me just now, so
that's
the
spontaneity.
Yeah, he wants to be predictable. There's nothing good about that, but it'll be amazing once we do get a few beers in and all that kind of stuff, and people see a player and you go, what, how's he not gone yet? When I was doing it a few years back, I got Alisson, the goalkeeper for Liverpool, for 1 point, because everyone just completely forgot about him, and I was like, I'll take Alisson Becker for 1 point, please. And they're like, no, someone must have him already. So I think there's going to be a lot of that today.
Hopefully.
Yeah, it makes for a bit of excitement, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, speaking of excitement, who would you like to see take the trophy home?
Obviously myself, first of all, first and foremost. It would be great to great to get a wee star on the jersey and all that, yeah. But do you know,
if it's not you, who you would like to win?
I felt bad for Mel last season, getting so close and then getting picked at the post by Nick, who was a worthy winner all the same. But do you know what? Meds. I'd like Meds to win.
Right.
If it wasn't me, just because like he's been in the catering zone a few times. I think that's the first time he's not been in the catering zone, and he gets underestimated. And if he was to come out and smash it out of the park, I'd be like doing laps around the block. Like, come on, Meds. But yeah, Meds. Maybe Meds should get it.
Who do you think is actually going to win?
Actually going to win? I don't know why, but I've been looking at Dutts today, Neil Dutts, and just thinking he seems to quietly go about his business and know what he's doing. Like, I think, don't know, that's who I'm pitching anyway, Dutts. Dutts, I don't, and it's just a gut instinct, really. Okay. I think he might be the first two-time winner. I think, I don't think anyone's won it twice.
No, not yet.
So, yeah. I think that
speaking about your gut, who do you think's going to get the wooden spoon?
Me? No. You got it last year, is it Yari? I don't think he's going to get it, but to get it 2 years in a row the way Yari is, like, that would be quite the talking point for someone to carry it home 2 years in a row. But just, I might get it. That's it.
Who's your biggest rival?
Biggest rival? Phil. Phil's my mate, obviously, but us both being Scottish, and it's a friendly rivalry.
But why him? Is
biggest rival?
Yeah.
I would just say, no, it's just like, it would be nice, it's good banter when we meet up and go, oh, we, and the way that Phil doesn't care either, he's got this kind of dry wit that he goes around with, and it would be nice to have a wee bit of rivalry in that sense. It's whoever, your biggest rival, whoever's just above you, isn't it? It can be any of the lads.
Yeah, it could be. It
can be any of the lads. I know it's a bit of a sitting the fence statement, but I'd like to have a toe-to-toe with Phil, or maybe Yari as well. Yari's good for
us. Yeah, and have you got any interesting predictions for this season?
Well, I do think Timo Werner's going to be the top scorer. I mean, it's not surprising. Mason Greenwood's going to absolutely smash it this season. From what Rashford was doing at the end of last season, I'm not sure he's going to. And I might predict that Salah might have a dud this season.
Okay.
Might have a dud season. Okay. I don't know. I think he's had his time in the sun already. So, mark my words, I think Salah might be not an underperformer. He would be a solid, like, 150 points or that, but I don't think he's going to be as prolific as he has been the last few seasons.
No, we have marked your words precisely.
You hear it here first.
Yeah.
Why should listeners support your team, and how would you like them to show their support?
They should get behind them, willing, maybe sing some songs, take some videos, make some cakes with my team's face on it. I like to think of myself as the underdog. I'm definitely nowhere near a favourite by any stretch, but if you like supporting the underdog, go for me. I will be your man.
Wow. I don't even know where to start. He's in so much stuff. First of all, let's just go on what he finished on. This obsession with people and cakes. How would you like to support? Just my face on a cake.
Make a cake with me on it, please. Because we had that cake last season. I think there was a lot of envy towards those on it, especially Nick, who was obviously on top of the cake at the time.
Big time.
And I think a lot of the drafters were like, oh, I'd have liked to have been on that cake. There was a lot of stuff that listeners did, which was,
it was great.
Incredible.
The Lego as well.
The Lego! Oh my God.
How did you even do that?
I don't know. We'll have to ask. It was Paul. Paul in New Zealand who did that. Paul Cartledge.
It's almost like, I would imagine you have to buy all the bits individually, but I've not been to a Lego shop for years. I don't know. I don't know how it worked.
No. Masterpiece, either way.
So on that, I mean, let's see where to start. I think there's zero sitting on the fence with Jamma. I think he's like, he's predicted some big things. He found out that Dutts was like quietly going on about his business. He didn't trust him. He's like, he could do really well this year. I love the fact that he said if Meds wins, he's going to do laps around the block, all of that. He's fast and loose. Is he?
Yeah. In terms of who he picks, I think. Yeah. I think he means that, like, he's just going to get a feeling whenever his pick came up.
Yeah.
I love him!
I think some interesting things. He's like, I'm going to try my hardest. I'm not competitive. This thing either. He's like, I've not done any research. And then he brings out all the facts. Is he another one of these ones that's like, I've not done the research, just because he actually watches lots of football and knows quite a lot about football anyway?
Yeah.
The Antonio thing.
I actually don't think it falls in line with his character, how he likes to portray himself,
yeah.
if he was to turn around and say, I've done a load of research.
Yeah.
So I think we got the version of that, which was, oh no, I'm just a nice laid back guy and I didn't do anything. Like, I'm just here and having a nice time. And I actually thought he was going a little bit down the Nick route. Don't attack me, I'm a nice guy.
Okay.
A lot of open goals. Like, if you say you want Meds to win, people are going to go, oh, he must be a nice guy. Gemma. Open goals, left, right and centre. It's manipulative.
The rivalry with Phil?
Great. Love it.
Love it. Love that. That is the battle of the Scots.
Especially because they are very much opposite in their characters as well. Well, you get two versions of Phil, but the version of Phil that comes out quite a lot is the sour Scotsman. Jammer is the opposite. He's the happy-go-lucky, friendly guy. Phil, not so much.
You will take the high road and I'll take the low road.
Yeah, Phil's very much on that low road. It's raining on him.
He also mentioned, you've got your list as well. He also mentioned the difficulty of going first in the sense of he has pick one and then he has pick 31.
Yeah, we've heard a lot of complaints from like Andy, for example, who was like, oh, I've got such a late pick. Andy was basically downplaying what is a pretty decent position and it's turned out quite well for him. Mantle as well, just before we started the draft, there was text messages going around and he was like, oh, woe is me, I'm at 11. And I said, well, hey, I'll trade with you. And he was like, oh, no, I'm okay. He's like, well, put your money where your mouth is, you know. So there's people further down the order. I actually think Jamma had it harder
than
Andy, than Mantle.
Yeah.
Because that second pick, their ability to get a better player at pick two is a lot. Like, there's a difference. Like, there's a difference between the player who is pick 16 and the player who is pick 30. Yeah.
And you know what? That's, I know that I was sort of going, I've got to stay focused for a couple of rounds. Jamma had to stay focused.
Yeah.
Because if he snoozed, he could have lost out and then not had another pick until way down.
He could have lost.
He could, I know, I was like, yeah. If he'd have snoozed, yeah, I couldn't quite work that out. But no, it's really interesting. And also, you know what, I think beforehand, when me and Matthew Melloo were talking, I think I said, oh, I'd like to be in the top five. I think I'd readdress that now, with the hindsight of this draft again.
Yeah.
I think you could quite easily say one of the last five to go arguably could be a better pick.
I think the strength
of numbers, do you know what I mean?
The way it happened, yeah. I think I was pretty open at the time. I sort of said I wanted to go somewhere in the middle. I think I wanted to go like pick 8.
Yeah.
The way it fell, by the time it got to pick 12, I'd have still been like, yeah, there's a lot for me to work with here.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the complaints that came from those at the back were pretty...
I think it's kind of like
silence, I think.
And so is that why you went, because you obviously was pick 3, which on the surface of it looks like a good pick, but then you got quite tricksy with all the trade. You did lots of trading. Is that because you thought by the time it comes back up, you're only two spaces away from Jamma?
Yeah.
So you were like, I need to bulk up my picks.
Well, in fact, I think I probably cover this when it gets to when it gets to me. But to loosely cover it, I felt that I didn't want to go into the draft the same way the majority of drafters would go. I wanted an edge. Whether it gave me an edge either way. It's actually, funny enough, it's the opposite of Johnny. It's a risk that either takes me way up or way down.
Johnny said something about that and he was like, I don't understand it. And somebody sent me one that I thought was quite good. I think it was Dan Mutlow sent me one that was quite good.
Yeah.
But I was looking at it for so long, I was like, I think this is good, but I think I might be wrong. I think I might be being done over. I couldn't get my head around it. So I just said really early on, I'm not swapping any.
Sure.
Because I, like Johnny, I just didn't quite get it to the... You obviously, I don't know what Johnny said, referenced you living in America or something. I don't think that's it, but I think if you get it, you get it, and if you don't, you have to see it in action first.
I'll tell you exactly. In fact, this is an interesting topic. We might as well cover it. This is what I did every time I proposed a trade. I looked at it from both points of view.
Yeah.
And I said, one, what do I want out of this trade? Two, what can I offer that will benefit the other person? because you can't look at a trade and go, all I want to happen is for me to benefit.
Yeah.
You cannot do that. So that's a stumbling block straight away for people who are not able to empathise with the other side.
Yeah.
And we know people who would not excel in that area. What I've then done is I've come up with a trade that from my side of view, and specifically with pick three, I think is going to be beneficial to me. It probably wouldn't be beneficial to someone with pick 14. And I've looked at it from my point of view. And then I've looked at who I want to trade with. And I've said, right, if I were them, what would I want? What would make this worthwhile? So that when I've then spoken to that person, I've said, right, this is what I want to do. And this is the reason why I want to do it. I've then said, this is why I think this works for you.
Yeah.
And I traded with three people.
Yeah.
All because I went, right, this is my idea. Cards on the table. This is what I want to do. You will benefit from this for this reason. This reason and this reason. And so I spoke to Yare. I spoke to
Melalu,
and I spoke to Mutlow. And I said, it's as simple as that. That's what I think. And I think it benefits us both. And so that's why I was able to offer enticing trades, because I wasn't looking at it solely from my point of view.
Oh yeah, you offered me one and you were like, that means you'd have such and such this many picks in the first 10 rounds or so, I don't know.
Exactly.
I was on holiday and I didn't get back to you and you'd already done it by then anyway. So.
Right.
But yeah, I remember that. I do remember that message coming in. But I still thought you were trying to trick me. That's the thing. Not you. I think if anybody had said that...
Makes complete sense.
I think I'd have gone... It can't be good for me because otherwise they wouldn't be doing it. And I think that I had that process. I was like, nah, there's something I'm missing here.
Yeah.
I don't trust it.
As I say, it's because of us having those different draft positions to start off with.
Yeah.
We are having to play completely different games. Jammer is going to have to play a completely different game to Andy.
Yeah.
Because they're at the opposite end of the spectrum when it comes to draft picks. And so... if they can find a counterbalance there to make something work in the trade market, great. Which they easily could have done. As I say, that's how I was able to approach it and why I think I was able to be successful with trades is because I was able to present what the offer meant to the other person.
Yeah.
And I don't think that is something that all the drafters have necessarily taken on board. I don't think... at the moment, and Johnny's a good example, I don't think Johnny looks at a trade from both sides of the table. He has the capacity to do it. I have faith in Johnny.
Also, just a quick one on Jammer. Jammer predicting big things for both Werner and Greenwood this season.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just on his prediction, although that was interesting.
Werner, I was surprised, went as late as he did. He didn't even go late, but I was surprised he went late.
I thought he was
going
to be top five.
I think he was... he was very high on my list.
Yeah,
very high.
If Yare hadn't gone, I thought I was going to end up with Werner because it was. Oh no, we don't know this, but I thought I was going to end up with Werner because Mane was before and Yare was before. So
right.
I just thought he was just going to go pure Liverpool. So I was surprised he went for Timo.
Yeah, something that comes into play also is I had Jose say to Jammer just to worry him a bit about the tradition in quotes.
Yeah.
Of the first pick song. That doesn't exist. A little bit like Nick's speech last year didn't exist,
yeah.
And yet Nick knocked it out of the park, and so now somebody coming into the league has to do a speech. Jammer, we said, right, yeah, you've got to do a song for your first pick. It's tradition, we always do that. Now, what then happened in between the draft and that interview was that Jammer had already prepared a song.
Amazing.
For his return speech.
Yeah.
Nick had done the speech the previous season, so we'd introduced that as a thing. Jammer and Mutlow had to therefore do their speeches. Jammer did a song.
He full rap.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
We will try and get footage to you. Hopefully we will achieve that. It was incredible. And so when it came to doing the song for the first pick, it was kind of like a mute point because he'd already done it.
Done that.
Yeah. Oh, that doesn't seem like much of a forfeit for him.
I thought they both did. They're both completely different styles, but and completely different sentiment. But I thought they both absolutely, both him and Daniel Mutlow, respectively, absolutely smashed their.
They were both
speeches.
Brilliant.
Yeah,
they were both.
One was very, 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 very good, like very funny and very entertaining. The other one was quite heartfelt and like put his heart on his sleeve, and I thought both of them worked really well.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Moving on to the other man who is causing a bow in the fence that they are both straddling. Number one fence sitter himself, Daniel Mantle. I wonder if we'll get any information whatsoever.
Keeps his cards close to his chest. Well, I reckon he's got them hidden up his sleeves.
I reckon they're super glued face down onto his chest.
Let's listen.
Yeah. Oh, Chops. Hello, good sir. Shorts. Thank you very much for...
Who's this?
Listen. Oh, man. So, thank you very much for... So, for those who are listening, he brought us some beer, some refreshments. How are you? How are you feeling?
I'm all right.
I have to say that in the pictures, we'll see the shorts, but I think they're legendary.
They got mentioned a couple of times through the old social media.
Right.
But you've definitely emphasized them, so hopefully your input will make them stick.
Because this is the first year that I'm this involved, and that was the first strike. You're like, wow, that is something.
Yeah,
that's what they all say. You're filthy, mate. Come here.
I'm sure you're.
I'm getting married.
There you go. You had the best draft score last season to have the worst captain record and finish fifth. How are you going to be braver this year?
I don't know how brave you... When you've got Kevin De Bruyne in your team tearing it up week in, week out, because he was the highest scoring player, how can you not captain him? So the week he's not performing, which is minimal, you choose him.
Yeah.
When you feel like you want to be a bit daring and go for Paul Pogba because they're playing Brighton, you pick him. De Bruyne scored 16 points. So, I mean, it's sometimes a game of cat and mouse, isn't it? You know, picking captain. So how can I be braver? I don't know. I don't think it's a case of being brave. I think it's a case of sticking with my best player. De Bruyne was that consistent. I should have just stuck with him. I think I tried to be too brave, maybe, occasionally, at the wrong time.
And are you confident with the whole new legacy league format?
I am. I'm not going to be quietly confident about it. I am confident. And I'll tell you why I'm confident. It's because... My first two years doing the draft was snake. The last five or six picks when it's auction is also effectively snake picks. And I always feel a little bit more comfortable because I don't think it's any secret that my level of research is pretty good. So I'm quite confident that I've got a few plays in my pocket that hopefully no one else would have picked.
And talking about those, tactics with these players, or what's going to be your tactic for the season?
I always try and spread what I think players will get in terms of points of performance. With my auction, when it was auction draft, I wouldn't go big on one player, i.e. Salah for 65. I went for De Bruyne for 40 or 42, and then Pogba for 20 points. My idea was that the two would make more points than Salah.
Right.
Pogba was injured for most of the season, so it didn't quite work out. But at the point, and De Bruyne played better than I thought he was going to play. So for this season, because of my pick number being 11, I think I've got to tap into that a little bit more than expect the best players. Okay, so makes sense. Being a little, doing that little bit more research has probably given me the upper hand. Obviously, I don't know how much more research anyone else has done or less, but I think I've got to tap into that. You know, loads of players that perform opposed to one big performer carrying me.
And speaking of performers and players, who would be your top three for this season?
So if I was in top three picks, it would be De Bruyne, Salah, and maybe... Before I knew we were changing format, Sterling was up there. Realistically, for this season, being pick 11, I would like to think Trent Alexander-Arnold would be up there. There's been a lot of chat with him, so probably not. Werner from Chelsea. And maybe Son.
And in terms of your secret pick, who would it be? One that you can have, like an ace card in your sleeve.
I think in terms of the highest pick, I think Son. I don't think people would see him as a first pick player. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I would pick Son is because he was relatively high scoring, considering the injury that he had. I think he broke his arm, didn't he? Mm-hmm. The red cards that he had a couple of red cards, broke obviously Gomez's leg and stuff. The fact that Harry Kane does get injured pretty much quite regularly because he plays so much football.
Yeah.
That would be my wild card in a top pick. In terms of, I'd give Paul Pogba another go. I'd like to go for Van de Beek, I think that's how you say his name. But I think that would be on people's radar. But I think Pogba might... I'm not saying I'm going to go for him, because if Van de Beek isn't on people's radar, I would pick him over Pogba.
Okay.
But if he does get picked, I'd give Pogba a go. Bobby Firmino might be a good shout, just because he scored one goal at Anfield, so I think people might think, oh, he's just a shit striker.
Yeah.
But I think he might... Well, he's going to do, but he's got to do better than last season.
Who would you pick in your later rounds?
I'm going to have Ruben Loftus-Cheek. He, you know what? I think he's a brilliant player, and he's got to break into that team because he's better than a lot of them. He's better than Mason Mount, isn't he?
Yeah.
Thanks, lads. Cheers, lads. Cheers.
I mean, Lampard just likes Mason Mount.
I know. Well, he had him from Derby, didn't he? So, but no, I'm going to mixing the two questions. Previous question. I think Loftus-Cheek is. I like to think he's a bit of a wild card. If not, he's definitely going to stick in the legacy era. To be honest.
Okay, now going to the drafters aspect. If it's not yourself, who would you like to win this season?
You know what? He gets a lot of jip, but I'd like Wolf to win it.
Wolf, yeah. Okay. Why?
Because I think he's a good drafter, you know. I think he's good. I think, you know, we've just been looking at some of the stats from previous seasons. Yari gives him a lot of stick, and, you know, Bradley likes to wind him up. I sort of secretly think he deserves it.
Okay.
And who do you think will win?
Currently, due to the activity of what's been happening, I think Bradley's got the nous with the whole trading thing, with how we set up. I think Bradley's definitely tapped into that, and he's got the nous for it. You know, I think he will. Currently, looking at what's been happening with the trades, I would say Bradley's definitely favourite at the minute. You know? I'd love to. I want to win it. I don't do this to not win it. I mean, a day like today is part of the reason why I do it, because it's a great day.
All right. So in terms of the listeners, why do you think they should support your team, and what would you like them to do to show this support?
So I think the listeners should support my team because every single player would be wearing these shorts that I am currently wearing. And to get behind the Mentor Dandies FC, to purchase yourself a pair of retro feeler tennis shorts, get them on the gram, little Jenny Mary, get yourself a pair, stop messing around.
Yeah.
I want to see you on eBay tonight, 12 quid, bosh, get them on, stick it on the gram.
So what I'll say from that is good on him for essentially, what do you say, colours to the mast, what do you say?
Oh, he's nailed his flag to the mast, I think is what he's done, yeah.
Good on him. He said he's confident about the setup. He's like, yeah, I'm happy with my research, hopefully I might have done more than everybody else.
I would say that's a fair assessment. I think he's done a lot this year. He wants that second star.
And I'm pleased that he is open about that. I'm pleased that he's not Nick.
Oh, I've done it again. You made me do that face again.
Yeah, because can you believe how dull Nick was?
I think Nick is playing a game. Great gamesmanship.
What did you learn from that interview?
Well, at the start, I mean, he's well competitive. He wants to win. Another one that says his rivals will... Oh, no. Another one that wants Wolf to win, which is... And I think he appreciates Wolf's game playing.
Wolf's getting a lot of mentions, yeah.
I was worried at the beginning with Mantle because I thought he was doing that thing where he just says lots of things but doesn't really answer the question.
Yeah, does that
a lot. But I think that was at the start, and then he got into it, and like you say, he nailed his colours to the mast, and he was like, I'm coming for you, this is me. And also, interestingly, because I know we've not revealed who's got who, but he's got quite a few of his picks that he mentioned there.
I'll say I'm proud of you, Mantle. I'm pleased that you've come off your fence a little bit and answered some questions more directly than you have done in the past.
Yeah. Do you know what I've just remembered as well? Sorry to just think it, bombard you on this, but I like how he was quite attacking when he was accused of not being very good at captaining, and he attacked to defend. And he was like, so I think about it. I've been too brave with my captain choices.
I actually thought he was defensive.
Yeah.
Because the statistics are there.
Did we have it? Did we almost had an I will love it moment? He got quite defensive on that one.
I sort of think we've had it. Because statistically, he was the worst. He finished in fifth. He had the best team last year. Finished in fifth. What, like...
I know, it's not. Yeah, he's the best team.
If this was the Premier League, he's finished outside of the Champions League spots. He's got the squad of Liverpool, he's finished in fifth.
Oh.
And then it's been pointed out to him why that's happened. Nick went, yeah, I need to improve my captaincy for next season. Nick won the league last season. Adapts. Daniel Mantle has won the league once. Once. What player did he have that 1 year?
I think he said Mohamed Salah, didn't he?
He had Mo Salah. Do you know how many points Mo Salah got that season?
Absolutely loads.
He got the record.
Yeah, it's like 300 or something, right?
303 points. No one's ever scored that many points before. And Daniel Mantle had him that season. That was the only time Daniel Mantle has won the league.
Did he captain him all the way through?
Pretty much. Well, which is fine.
Yeah,
and that worked.
He would.
But the point being is Mantle has only ever won the league under spectacular circumstances. The rest of the time, he's not been good enough. Last season... he talks about being 8 points behind in the end. Going into that game week, he was, I don't know, 40 points off. He was never winning that league. This season was significantly closer. Came down to the last 10 minutes. Last season, points-wise, sure, but that was what they call in American sports, garbage time. Garbage time is when a team is so far ahead, they more or less stop playing, and the opposition pick up a bunch of points.
Okay.
Towards the end of the game... because
probably happens a lot in basketball.
Yeah, American sports are more set up for that because you know when you've won, when you've got to a certain lead. And also in American football, if you've won the game, you take your best players out because you don't want them getting hit, getting hurt. Exactly. Yeah. And so all of a sudden the other team get more opportunities. That's the only reason that season was so close. Mantle only wins the league under exceptional circumstances. His captaincy is poor. Did he accept it? No, he's not accepted it. He's gone, I'm going to do the same thing this year. Guess what? Mantle's not a threat this year.
Ooh.
And in truth, he's not been a threat any year that he hasn't had a guy who scored the record amount of points for an individual.
Brutal.
Statistically, the evidence is there to say, this is how you improve your team, Daniel Mantle.
And for those of you...
instead of going, yeah, okay, he's gone, no, I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing.
For those of you listening, Bradley actually has two A4 books. They're like diaries, like a diary, a page, like a day a page diary. Two of them. One is burgundy, classic, and one is like a navy. And he literally pointed. The evidence is there, and he's got two books sitting there.
Not to ruin the illusion, the blue one is my script book. But
no. All right, he's even better. It's a burgundy leather bound book.
It is a. I'm Ron Burgundy.
Who have we got next?
Next up, we move on to Matthew Melaleu.
Ooh, nearly the champion.
Right, get the digs
in. Mate, no, come on. That was just a general thing.
Good. Just in case you forgot, Matthew, Marcus wants to remind you, you were nearly the champion. Anyway, let's see what he has to say.
Agree. There is the man.
Hi, boys. How are we doing?
The legend. How are you, good sir?
Yeah, not too bad. Another draft looms.
Another draft. Mate, you're the talk of the town because I think everyone felt your pain. Mm. How are you feeling this season? Because I was there for the last day. I saw the confidence.
Saw just how up and down that day was.
It was a true roller coaster.
Yeah, it was. It was at half time, like, oh, this could still happen.
Yeah.
And then as the goals came in, just seeing it fall away, and
my heart went out.
The knife in the chest. Mate, I was still crying when I woke up this morning. What can I say?
It's a memory.
Gutting. Absolutely.
And that will stay with you forever.
It will.
And I'm just very honored that I share that memory, even though it was a sad one.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Well, it was good to be among friends. If I'd have been sat watching that by myself, I'd have been like, do you know what? You can all... I'm never coming out again. I'm done. Screw you guys.
Yeah, yeah. Well, on that note, are you likely to lose interest now that you're back to square one? And also, do you only sing when you're winning, like an all Manchester United fan?
Oh, Bradley, how can you write a question like that? Dirty, dirty boy.
I wanted to start the interview the right way.
Indeed. You can back me up on this.
Yeah.
On the last day, I was swearing blind that Martial miss
yes.
that penalty
yeah.
so that my draft team could win. So that there is absolutely no question about singing while you're winning when it comes to United. I wanted to sacrifice a European place for my team to do the job. Will I shut up shop because I didn't win? I've been not winning for 6 years. On my seventh year, I came close. Have I ever not been vocal? I think I've always been part of this setup. I've never kept my opinions to myself. Yara knows that. There's, you know, you have a little extra skip in your step when you're in a title contention, but fair. You also have a knot in your stomach. It's stressful. It's
yeah.
that's difficult. I'm not going to lie. There was part of me who really liked the idea of getting it won and then being able to just relax for a while.
Right.
Going, yes, title. I've won.
Yeah.
I don't need to go through that stress again, at least not for a while. I'll happily take some midfield results. I'll even do a catering zone if I need to.
Ooh.
I've got the star.
Yeah.
But I didn't get the star.
Right.
I'll do my best. I can't do more than that.
That's all we ask.
Yeah. New league format with
yeah.
a new legacy. Are you confident about that?
No, simple as that. I wanted to get it won in the old format because what we've got downstairs are some serious boffins. There are boys there talking about players. I've never heard of them. Someone said, I think they were talking about Trezeguet or something, and he said, do you think Trezeguet will be as maraudering as so-and-so? I overheard that and thought, as maraudering? Who the hell's that?
Brilliant.
Mate, they're chatting about guys I've no clue about. And this current setup favours people with that depth of knowledge, and I don't have. So this is...
You think they're just making up names, like movie names?
Oh, I've done that, don't you worry. I'm notorious for trying to draft the same player three times using all three of his different names. This doesn't favour me at all.
Okay.
So this is going to be a harder year.
Right. So what is your tactic then? If this doesn't favour, what is your tactic going to be for this season?
Great question. Try and get someone who could be a strong captain. That's what you've got to do with your first pick. You've got no choice there. Your first 10 players to pick, you're all going to be trying to get one good player each that you could have as your strong captain that might score 200 points. With my second round pick, try and get someone else reasonably solid, maybe a midfielder, maybe a forward, who would be good for 150 points maybe. If you've got those two down in your first two picks, after that, I would be tempted to start looking at some possibly exciting legacy players, some youngsters, because they'll all expect that I don't know who they are. So there's a couple of people...
I see what you're doing.
There's a couple of people that are new to the league, that are new to clubs, that are the long-term thoughts for certain positions that I'm looking at thinking, okay, maybe if I can get one or two of those, then I'm looking good for this season, but also for future seasons. Truth of the matter is, when the names start getting picked, all tactics are out the window.
Boy.
They can all talk a great game, but when you were building your entire squad about having Aguero as your striker, and the guy before you chooses Aguero, I'm sorry, your plans, they don't matter anymore.
And speaking of picking players, who would be your top three players that you'd want?
That I'd want, if I could have any player? Yep. Oh, there's no question. There's too much to prove for both City and... Well, City are hurting because they lost last year, so De Bruyne and Sterling are both... question marks there. I would go De Bruyne because he's arguably the best person in the league. Then Arteta's got a lot to prove with Arsenal, so Aubameyang. So you can imagine De Bruyne, Aubameyang, that's a midfield. That's a great midfield right there. And then up front, you want a proven striker. I reckon City's going to rotate quite heavily between Aguero and Jesus. So either of those would be okay. But you want someone who's going to be a stalwart. Do you risk on Kane? Don't know. I would actually probably go Martial.
Martial. Yeah.
Sticking to the United.
Mate, it was too painful last season. Watching my team score and hating it every second. So it would be nice to have a reason to cheer for them.
Do you have a secret pick? One that you can say comes under the radar?
Do I? I'm known for my limited research and knowledge. So my ears tend to prick up year on year. A lot of them would probably say my secret pick last year was Tammy Abrams. Tammy Abram. Abraham. Oh, whatever his name is. See, there's an example of my knowledge. I'd heard about him during a radio show while he was playing in the Championship, and then saw that he'd come in for Chelsea. I was like, oh, okay, get on board with that. This year, in a similar vein, I was listening to a couple of interviews on various radio shows, and I remember them talking about one of the most exciting prospects coming out of the Championship was the third Pereira to join the Premier League. He's with Wolves, I think. And they were saying he's a good talent to look out for. So he might be one that would go under the radar for the first four or five rounds, and if he's still available, then put him in there. Likewise, and this hurts for a United supporter, any Leeds players, there's a few exciting prospects there. Is it Klitsch?
I think it's
Klitsch. I think it's with a K. Yeah, yeah, there are options.
Yeah.
So,
who would you want to pick in the later rounds?
Whoever's available. Come on, man. Who would I want to pick in the later rounds? I'd like to think that there'd be a couple of diamonds in there that I've managed to remember in my research, but to be honest, you've got your list of these are the people I like, and you delete them one by one when they all get picked, and you eventually get there and you're like, I'll just take whoever's available. Yeah.
If it wasn't you, who would you like to win this year?
Meds,
why?
Because me and him have been the perennial underachievers, the underdogs. It was my chance last year. Sadly, couldn't get it over the line. It should be Meds this year. Simple as that.
But who do you think will win?
I think last year I plucked for Andy O'Neill. He's a smart drafter. He's never achieved it. But given the nature of this style of draft, it really favours strong drafters like Daniel Mantle. And this could be the year that Bradley might get a look back in, you know?
Okay. Flipping in a little bit, who do you think will get the wooden spoon?
The wooden spoon this year. Well, Yare has a caretaker manager, and I was saying how wonderful it might be for Yare to achieve back-to-back spoons. No one's done it before, and he likes a record. He likes something he can champion. So, double spoons for Yare? Oh, yeah.
All right.
A mouth-watering prospect.
Sounds like a story to me.
Yeah.
But this caretaker manager does work for Sky Sports.
So he knows his stuff. There's no messing at all. But let's be honest.
Yeah, please.
Yare couldn't live with himself if he only did well because of someone else's knowledge. Yare wants the cerebral assassin to speak today. This is just a mouthpiece. Exactly, and it would be an empty victory if it wasn't only Yare's work being reflected.
Empty victory is a tagline.
Oh, yeah.
I take it.
Yeah.
Hashtag empty victory.
Empty victory. Exactly.
What interesting predictions are you making for this season?
Wooden spoon back to back, that's a bold one. First three picks are going to be Kevin De Bruyne, Aubameyang, Fernandes. There's a prediction for you. Then I'm going to predict, oh, let's throw him a bone. Johnny Wolf's going to make a podium this year.
Ooh,
okay. You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. You heard it here first.
Who would you say is your biggest rival?
Oh, well, I really upset him last year when I said Marcus. He didn't like that.
Marcus?
Yeah, he got really upset, and then I smoked him. So, through all the offence of the idea that he might be down at my level.
Why should supporters support your team, and how would you like them to show their support?
I think the supporters have been fantastic, and I'd just like to say a massive thanks to all of their support for the run-in last season. A lot of people were very vocal, especially after hype man Daniel Mutlow did me up like an absolute kipper. It was brilliant. I've never heard anything like it. Malulu's with a team that came from nowhere, 6 years in the doldrums. I'd never even been in the top half of the table. And with 45 minutes to go, drawing, no points in it at all, knowing this could be it, we could do it. It doesn't get much closer than that, and it doesn't hurt much more than that. And the fans, the listeners, they were fantastic. So all I would say is, I'm sorry we couldn't get it across the line for you last time. Salah has a lot to answer for in that. I have a lot to answer for in that, and we didn't deliver. I would say, stay patient, stay with us. You guys do you, and the Malulus will do the Malulus.
Mike Tyson once famously said, everyone has a plan until they get punched in the face. Matthew Melaleu, everyone has a plan until people get dropped.
Until names get picked.
Yeah.
That's what he said. And spot on. You know, he's not the only person that said that. Neil said it earlier. I think a couple of other people have... I think Jammer might have referred to it as well.
Yeah.
It's absolutely true. Sounds obvious, but not as obvious as obviously picking Asmaraudin. Getting Asmaraudin in first pick.
You mean Dave?
Dave. Who he's got?
I think he's picked that up from one of the multiple times Pete's tried to say Azpilicueta's name. It's gone, well, he must be a player. I've heard Pete say him. Lot again... Yare and Wolf getting a lot of mentions this season.
Loads of mentions. They're very vocal, aren't they?
Yeah, they draw a lot of the attention, and perhaps that is why they've stuck in the minds when it comes to answering questions.
But you know what Yare won't like? Is that they're not being mentioned in the same vein. Everyone's mentioning Yare for, I think he called it a double spooner.
Yeah.
And everyone's mentioning Wolf for the title.
I would actually say that's a compliment to Yare.
Go on.
Yare has won the league. Yare has an abdo to his name.
Oh, don't we know it?
And don't we just know it? So no one's actively going to be like, oh, I hope he does it again. Yes. I think somebody said it earlier. I can't remember who it was. Whereas Wolf has never won it. And people are like, well, it would be great if he does. Because one, it's a new name.
Yeah.
And two, it means a hell of a lot to him.
Yeah.
So I think that's probably more of a compliment to Yare. You don't punch down, as they say.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that's spot on.
You do not punch down. And oh, so you know no one's punching Wolf.
You are giving Yare even more ammunition for him to be like, yes, it's on, get that second star.
He's got one. He's got one above his badge. It was a weird season when he did it, but he did it.
Which leads them on to, I think Melaleu had some fighting talk here.
Yeah.
When he said Yare couldn't deal with it if it wasn't all his work. Hashtag empty victory.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if Yare wins this year, will that play on Yare's mind, that sentence? Will he have to then fight for third until he can really claim it?
It'd only be right to sort of put half a star on his badge, wouldn't it? Put the other half on Danny's kit.
Yeah, you said it.
Melaleu, this is why I'm proud of Melaleu. One, him finishing runner-up.
Amazing.
Is mental.
Yeah.
At one stage, you just never... took your word...
100%.
It is mental. I was
going to put it better myself.
There was at one stage, you would have never said that was ever going to happen.
Well, no, because I was last year when he said I was his rival, I was offended because I was like, oh, what are you talking about? If he said it this year, I'd be like, yeah, brilliant. Bring it on.
Yeah.
Right, I'd love to be rival for second place.
And so I'm proud of him on that front. I'm proud of him because he started to shed the kind of victim card that he used to play.
Oh, you did like that halfway through the season. Whenever halfway through the season was.
Whenever that was, yeah. He's starting to shed that. He doesn't sort of fall back on that quite as much. And the other thing he started doing is playing mind games.
Oh, yes.
And that's a development for Melaleu. He used to be like Nick. He used to be like, oh, don't mind me. I'm just over here minding my own business. He's not that anymore. He's given us something. So in terms of Melaleu's... And I use the term drafting to encapsulate all of it. It has come on leaps and bounds.
Yeah.
And I also like the fact that when you sort of say to him, you're going to lose interest. Part of me kind of thought, oh, I hope he doesn't fudge it here.
Yeah.
Because he's never going to go, yeah, probably. He'll never say that. But you can hear it in his answer if he was going to. And I don't think you could hear it there.
Because I think he's focused this year.
He's focused.
Really focused.
I was very happy to hear that.
Yeah.
And also a lot of people, when they were asked Wooden Spoon, his name's come up. as a possible candidate, and I think that's probably from a version of him in the past.
Yeah,
that wasn't as, like, he can joke now about the asthma ordering.
Yeah, that's very funny.
Because
it was very funny.
He's actually, yeah. there was probably a stage when he would have heard asthma ordering and gone, that definitely is a player.
Yeah.
Whereas now he can joke about it.
Yeah. And I think the reason he's been, we'll finish on this, I suppose, but I think the reason he's being mentioned in the wooden spoon position is the same reason Nick is being mentioned in the wooden spoon position. It's because people now want the person that's at the top to be at the bottom, rather than, like, historically.
Well, Melaleu's won the wooden spoon before. He's been in the catering zone.
What do you call it, winning? Unless this comes from a recipient of the wooden spoon. Call it winning.
Much better terminology. Melaleu has received the wooden spoon before. He's been in the catering zone once or twice, so he has history with it. But he doesn't have recent history with it, and I think that is indicative of his achievements recently and his improvement. Good luck to you, Melaleu. We're behind you. You have supporters, I think. A lot of supporters on social media. And I think you have a lot of supporters within the draft. Not least of all, from Meds.
Yeah.
They've formed a nice little relationship, haven't they? There's a little bromance there. There's these little kind of bonds that are formed within the draft. We mentioned Wolf and Yare earlier. And Jammer mentioned him and Phil. And Meds and Melaleu on draft day, very quick to say hello to each other and catch up and what have you. There's a nice little bond that is formed there. That's what the draft's all about.
That's the spirit of the draft.
Spirit of the draft. Which... Well, we'll cover that later on. So there we go, Marcus. That was the end of part three. Let's pretend that we always knew it was going to be four parts. Let's pretend that we haven't got to the edit and suddenly realised that we needed a part four.
Let's definitely pretend that. That's Yeah, that's the thing, is that everyone's got so much to say. We couldn't possibly condense it, especially in that episode. You've got a former champion, you've got a newbie, and you've got Matthew Melaleu, who we just heard from then.
I think part three, Marcus, was peak relaxation for draft interviews, both with those drafters going up because they weren't going up with everyone going, why is this taking so long? And also, by this point, Luca and Jose had become very relaxed with what they were doing, had a nice comfy seat by this point.
They were getting into their rhythm. They were getting into their rhythm as well, getting into the flow of it.
They were getting into their smooth grooves.
They were doing it was a marathon for them, not a sprint.
And what a great job they were doing. And we thank them both very much for it. And we leave you, listeners, only briefly, because part four is only round the corner.
And until then,
rah.
There's only one Ollie Watkins, one Ollie Watkins, there's only one Ollie Watkins. He can score a goal from anywhere he wants to, from outside the box or inside the box too. He can score a header or with both feet, either or. There's only one Ollie Watkins.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.